Well, one night when I was living in Reading, I got off work, working at a restaurant, and like any other 23-year-old, I have a fifth meal and about 10:30 at night, and went over to a grocery store to go get some donuts. And I was walking in, I was passing by the cash register, and this lady was paying for her groceries, and I saw that she had hearing aids, and I thought, it's always a green light when you see crutches, people in wheelchairs, hearing aids. Just go up and ask if you pray for them. So I approached the lady, asked her, hey, can I pray for you really quick? And she's like, oh, that'd be nice. And then she starts leaving. I'm like, no, like right now, can I pray for you? And she's like, okay, why not? And I say, hey, why don't you just take out your hearing aids so we can see if God does anything, we'll know, we can see a difference right away. And so she takes out her hearing aids, we begin to pray for her. And the cash register girl, the cashier lady, she's watching the whole thing, you know, unfold. And we begin to pray for her. And I said, okay, I'm gonna take a couple steps back. You just repeat after me if you could hear me. And so, you know, she's, you know, facing the other direction, and I'm taking steps back, like, hello, my name's Chad, my favorite food's pizza and donuts. And she's repeating this till I get about 25 feet away, and she realizes that she has full hearing. She actually has better hearing than the cashier has. And the cashier is like in her late, you know, teens, early 20s. And so she starts crying because her ears opened up. She was 90% deaf in one ear, 80% deaf in the other. And the cashier lady is crying as well. And suddenly, right when that happens, I just feel this wind on the back of my neck, and I get downloaded with all these words of knowledge of what God wants to do in the grocery store. And, you know, I didn't have this. I was just going in there hungry. I didn't have this before. And so I go to the cashier, and I say, this is totally God. This isn't me. I mean, God just totally, you know, opened this girl's ears, but God wants to do more in this grocery store. Is it all right if I get on the intercom and just share, you know, and call out some words of knowledge? And she's all, yeah. So she shows me how to use it. I say, attention all shoppers. You know, God is in the building. And I begin to just tell what God's doing. And I had a lady that got healed, she shared what happened to her. And so I just started calling out words of knowledge, said, come to checkout 10. People started gathering around, about 20, 25 people. And it was amazing. And this one lady came with a motorized cart and said, do you think God could really heal me? And I said, of course God can heal you. He's the healer. So I began to just explain a little bit about the gospel, about healing, signs and wonders. And then I had the lady that just got healed from her ears pray with me. And I said, this is, you know, Matthew 10, 7, and 8. You know, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, the sick get healed, the dead get raised, freely receive and freely give. And it was her time to give away the kingdom when she just received it earlier. So we began to pray together, and I asked the lady in the motorized cart, she was getting prayer for her hip. She is going in for a hip replacement surgery. And she moves her hip a little bit, and she goes, and I was thinking, oh my gosh, like, is she in pain? And that's what I'm thinking in my head. And I asked her, what's going on? And she's like, that used to hurt before. And I said, okay, well, try to do something else. So she gets up. She begins to walk and then go into this little jog. She begins to scream out, Jesus has just healed me. Jesus has just healed me. The whole place goes crazy. They all start, like, you know, hooting and hollering. I mean, this isn't like a church. This isn't checkout aisle 10. And this guy in the back starts pushing people. And I'm thinking, this guy is coming to, like, beat me up. He has a problem with this. I don't know. So he's shaking his, like, fist at me. And he gets up to me, and I'm, like, getting ready to defend myself. And he says, my wrist, I have carpal tunnel in my wrist. I've had him for 2 years. Will you please pray for me? And I said, of course. And I said, you know, while I'm praying for you, why don't you just move it around just to see if something, you know, shifts or changes? He's moving around. He goes, oh, my gosh, they're on fire. They're on fire. I'm like, well, that's good. They're, you know, heat's a good thing. And so he's like, oh my gosh, there's no more pain. He starts crying, and he begins to explain to me that he plays the piano, he teaches and he performs, and that's how he makes his money. And he's been in total pain doing this. And now they don't hurt anymore. And he was coming into the grocery store tonight saying, wouldn't it be great if all the pain in my wrist left today? And so I decided, hey, you know, the kingdom just showed up. It'd be a good idea to introduce the king. And so I just told everybody, you know, Jesus didn't just die on the cross for these people to get healed, but to have a personal relationship with you, and that you could be best friends with the creator of the universe. And just gave a real simple gospel message. And I said, who wants that? Who wants to be best friends with the creator of the universe? And people's hands just came up, and I just led them to the Lord, prayed for them. And I walked out on cloud 9 for getting my donuts, but it was a fun night.
How many believe that God still can work like that in 2017? Right? Now, here's the next question, probably the most important. How many of you believe that God wants to do that type of ministry through you? That's the big question for today. And before we jump into the message, I want to remind you that this coming weekend is our Holy Spirit Conference, and I hope that you'll join us. We're having special services with a special guest, Tim Enloe. Saturday night is at 6. Sunday morning is our regular service times, and then Sunday night at 6 p.m. And this is this series that we're in on the power, the person of the Holy Spirit, ghost stories, is really leading up to this. And this is a weekend where we're just going to believe to be filled with the Spirit, move in the power of the Spirit, and develop a deeper relationship with the Spirit. I hope you will come. I hope you make it a priority to be here and bring some people with you. I think it's going to be great what God's going to do in our hearts and our lives. Now, the big idea for this series is very simple. You can have a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit than you have right now. How many agree with that so far? You can have a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit than you have right now. And I hope in these last 5 weeks, your relationship with the Holy Spirit is deepening. As you ask, as you learn, and as you consecrate yourself to Him, we can grow in our relationship with the Holy Spirit, just like we can grow in our relationships with other people. Because He's a person, right? The Holy Spirit is a person. If you've missed any of this so far, I encourage you to go back and listen to it online. Now, today's message is naturally supernatural. Naturally supernatural. And this morning, what I want to do is I want to talk to you about how the supernatural cooperates with the natural in order for the kingdom of God to show up in our culture and in our time. I know some people think, well, you know what, Pastor, some people, people in our culture, they're afraid of the supernatural. I beg to differ because I've watched television. You know, I see the previews for the movies. There is so many supernatural themes. I think it dominates everything else, and most of the themes are dark supernatural themes. I don't think people are afraid of the supernatural. I think they're hungry for it. They're just not used to seeing it in church. All right? Now, what I want to do today is point out to you that the supernatural is very natural. It's less hocus pocus than you think. It's less heebie-jeebie than you think. Matter of fact, that's why we call this ghost stories, because we're trying to take away the hocus pocus part, the preconceived ideas that people have when it comes to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I think this is illustrated so perfectly in John chapter 4 in the story of the woman at the well. Do you know this story? Jesus is tired from ministry. He sits down by a well. A woman comes to draw water from the well, and he says, "Hey, can I have a drink?" By the way, this is Wayne's version of what happened, okay? You can read the actual events in John 4. And she says, "Hey, I'm a woman and I'm a Samaritan. What are you doing asking me for a drink?" And remember, this is Wayne's version. "Listen, lady, if you knew who it was that was asking you for a drink, you would ask for living water." You know, and so Jesus takes a natural conversation and begins to turn it to spiritual themes, right? And then that sets off a conversation about worship and mountains, but then Jesus does this in John chapter 4. He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." She says, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You're right. When you say you have no husband, the fact is you have had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." And that was probably her reaction. What? Jesus just read her mail. What happened is that in the course of this natural conversation, Jesus moves to the supernatural. A very natural conversation where the Spirit begins to manifest Himself in her life. And the result is she becomes a follower of Jesus. And she goes to tell her old town, "Come see a man who told me everything that I ever did. Now listen, I think this story illustrates why it's so important for all of us in 2017 to have a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. Why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit helps us pray. The Spirit helps us worship. The Spirit helps us be holy. We've talked about this. But one of the main reasons we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit is for people like the woman at the well, who are broken, who are hurting, who don't know that God loves them, or maybe they think that God hates them. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God so that the kingdom of God can show up in our natural conversations so that God can work in their hearts and in their lives. Now you say, Pastor, how does that happen? What does that look like? Well, they're called the gifts of the Spirit. And that's what we're going to talk about here today. And there are 9 of them. And so I'm going to do all 9 in one message. And I thought, since it's a holiday weekend and you actually chose to come to church, we could do this all day. Actually not, you know, but just wanted to test, see where your faith was. I'm not sure how you went, all right? But here we go. Now, what are the gifts of the Spirit? Well, Paul describes them. The Apostle Paul does in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. And here's what he says. He says, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren and sistren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now let's stop right there, because I think one of the reasons that people are afraid of the gifts of the Spirit is this word right here. They're just ignorant. Now, aren't you glad he didn't say stupid? He says they just don't know. They're just not been taught. And I think that's so important, because we tend to be afraid of things that we don't know about. There is a fear of the unknown. So as we talk about it here today, I think God's going to help for some of us to remove the fear that we have concerning the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says, I don't want you to be afraid of them either. So he starts to describe them in verse 7. Now he says, but the manifestation of the Spirit, and that word manifestation means to make known. So here's how the Spirit makes himself known. Is given to each one for the profit of all. Now let's stop right there again, because I think we want to point out is that the Spirit is given to each one. How many are in each? Raise your hand. Some of you are not, you're not in each. Each one. Aren't you glad it doesn't say is given to special ones or gifted ones? Or how about this one? Weird ones. Aren't you glad? The Holy Spirit is given to each one. This is for all of us. By the way, there was no such thing as a non-spirit-filled church in the New Testament. This was the normal experience of all New Testament believers living a spirit-filled life. And so Spirit is given to each one, look at this, for the profit of all. The spiritual gifts are not for us to show off or to draw attention to us. It's for the profit of other people. If I keep taking these side comments, we are gonna be here all day. I'm gonna keep going. So here he says what the spiritual gifts are. He says, to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to, there it is again, each one individually as he wills. Now, these are gifts of the Spirit, which means no one has these gifts. They don't belong to you. Some people say, well, I have the gift of healing, or I have the gift of word of knowledge. You don't have it, because it doesn't belong to you. The Spirit gives them to each one, the Scripture says, as he wills. He distributes each one for the profit of all. And now, you can minister in those gifts, but no one can say, I have these gifts. How many understand what I'm talking about here? Because the word manifest means to make known. This is how the Spirit makes himself known, or the kingdom of God shows up, for the profit of all or other people. Now, the Greek word here for gift, when Paul talks about spiritual gifts, is the word charisma. Anybody ever heard the word charisma? Oftentimes, people who are spirit-filled are called charismatic. Have you heard that term before? Well, the gift here in the Bible dictionary, look at what he says, is the instantaneous enablement of the Holy Spirit in the life of any believer. I see a theme developing here, don't you? The life of any believer to exercise a gift for the edification of who? Others. So when Paul wrote this in the New Testament, it was written in Greek, and he's using this term charisma, an instantaneous enablement of the Holy Spirit in the life of any believer to exercise a gift for the edification of others. Now, you need to know that the root word here, charis, is the word for grace. Isn't that great? Charis, which means it's not you. Are you getting this? And you add the word ma on the end of it, it means gift. So charisma means grace gift. That's pretty awesome. And so Paul adds the word spiritual gift or spiritual grace gift. And that word for spiritual is pneumaticos, which means empowered by breath or wind. Now listen closely, pay attention. Some of you have heard of a pneumatic drill, which is powered by air. Pneumatics is the study of things that are powered by air. Paul says, listen, these are gifts powered by the wind of the Holy Spirit. These are gifts that enable us because of the breath or the wind of God. So when Paul says concerning spiritual gifts, he's talking about gifts empowered by the Holy Spirit, concerning things that you can only move in when you have allowed the Spirit of God to pour himself out into your life. Are you getting this? Now, and so when Paul describes these nine gifts, it's easy to divide these into three categories of gifts. It's there on your notes. The first is discerning gifts. The second is declarative gifts. And the third is dynamic gifts. So let's talk about what they are and what they look like. We'll start with the discerning gifts. And the first one that Paul mentions is a word of knowledge. Word of knowledge is to know something specific without having learned it by natural means. That's what happened at the woman at the well with Jesus. He says, you have five husbands. She's like, well, how did you know that? Well, we would say, hey, he's Jesus. All right, he should know that. But remember, we learned last week that Jesus said of himself, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Remember we talked about the three different types of relationship with the Holy Spirit? There is the with, there's the in, and there's the upon. The same type of upon relationship Jesus said we should seek when you shall receive power when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you. What this means is that when Jesus was having this conversation, he was moving in the power of the Holy Spirit just like we can, just like we should. I'm going slow. Now, what does a word of knowledge look like? Well, it could look like the conversation at the woman at the well, but for me, I can tell you that most of the time this happens to me in prayer when I'm praying for somebody. I'll be praying for somebody, maybe generally, and then the Holy Spirit will speak to me about something specific to pray about, maybe a relationship or an issue or a sin issue. How many know the Holy Spirit can do that? Now, this is a reminder that when the Holy Spirit speaks to you about other people, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to go tell them. Perhaps the Holy Spirit is showing you things so that you can pray for them. Many times I'll be praying here, like we pray for people. And as I'm praying, I'll say, hey, the Holy Spirit is speaking to me about XYZ. Does that mean anything to you? And it's funny when they're like, how did you know that? I'm like, I didn't learn it. The Holy Spirit spoke that to me. Does this make sense? Would it be okay, parents, if the Holy Spirit gave you a word of knowledge about what's going on with your kids? Anybody? All the parents? No, I don't want to know what's going on. Oh, come on, you do. or the Holy Spirit gives you a word of knowledge about a specific situation so you can pray. That'd be okay with us, right? Naturally supernatural. Here's the next one he talks about, a word of wisdom. A word of wisdom is the divine answer or solution for a particular event. So a word of knowledge is about information. A word of wisdom is about direction or solution for a particular event. I think probably a lot of you have experienced this, but Tracy and I experienced this multiple times, but one major time in our lives was a little bit more than 20 years ago. We're serving on staff at a church and just really going through a very discouraging time. We were asking the Lord about direction. Do we go? Do we stay? We were even asking some questions, do we leave the ministry? It was a tough time. So we go to this event where this event for youth pastors, and the speaker was from England. Okay? He's ministering to all these youth pastors. Near the altar time, as people are praying, he comes up to me and he says, Wayne. And of course, I had my name tag on, so I wasn't too impressed yet, okay? He says, Wayne, here's what the Lord says. He says, that person that I put in your life, I put him there to create character in you. And I'm preparing you for something greater in your future. So I'm bawling like a baby, you know? And I'm like, oh, that's okay. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. You know, that had a dramatic impact on our lives because we went back saying, we're going to serve well. We're going to pass this test. And we're going to do it with pure hearts and right spirits. You know, that's what, because the Lord gave us a solution for this situation. And I think it was just less than a year later, we got an invitation to come to this church in Greenwood that had a lot of potential. Isn't that good news? Anybody would like to have a word of wisdom, maybe about your business or about a situation or circumstance? Maybe you'd like the Holy Spirit to speak to you about a word of wisdom. Yeah. Bring it on, Jesus. I want to know that stuff. Divine solution. And then another of the discerning gifts is the discerning of spirits. And the discerning of spirits is to be made aware of the presence of a demonic spirit. To be made aware of the presence of a demonic spirit. We see this in Acts chapter 16. Paul is ministering, and there's this young woman following him every day, saying, these are the servants of the Most High God. Which was true. What she was saying was true, but Paul knew that she was a fortune teller, and she was demon-possessed. Those two probably go together, by the way. And so Paul, recognizing it as a demon, cast the demon out. Now, I saw my wife operating this gift some time ago. We were looking at a house. We're looking through this house and open the door to one room. We look around, and when we're done, she says, hey, did you feel anything strange about this particular room? And I'm like, I didn't feel nothing, you know? And come to find out later that this house, that particular room was used by Hindus as their prayer room. That's good to know, right? Would it be okay with you if the Holy Spirit revealed to you perhaps a spiritual attack coming against your family or your kids, or that there is a demonic activity going on? Wouldn't you like to know that? That's what the Holy Spirit wants us to know. Okay, so that's the first three, and then we go to the declarative gifts. And so the first one here is prophecy. And so prophecy is a message of encouragement through a person. A message of encouragement through a person. Now, please know that this never mentions correction. The spiritual New Testament gift of prophecy is encouragement. Because some people say, I have the gift of prophecy, but they use that to correct other people, and they tag it with, thus saith the Lord. How many know that's not the gift of prophecy when it's correction? It's just not. So we need to be careful when we tag things with, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord didn't thus say. Are you hearing me? Now, one who prophesies, the Bible dictionary says, exercises, speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort. And I love what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14. He said, you can all prophesy. Would you say all? He's going back to that each one thing. There's a theme he keeps going over. You can all, each one, you can all prophesy so that all may be encouraged. Now, we need to know that not all prophecies are from God. How many have ever been on the receiving end of a word that was wrong? I'm raising my hand. You know, we had somebody tell us a few years ago, this time next year, you'll be holding a daughter. Instead, I have two manly men, you know. It's like the Lord has given me a man for the Lord. Now, what does that mean, Pastor? What it means is people are learning. And there's a natural part to the supernatural. We provide the natural, God does the supernatural, and whenever we're involved, there can be some mistakes. Are you getting this? That's also why whenever people give us a word, we should make sure that it measures up with Scripture. Right? And so if somebody says, thus saith the Lord, you should divorce your husband because you've fallen in love with another person, that is not from God. Are you getting that? Because it does not line up with God's word. And that's why we also have to be careful. And some people get out of bounds in this. You know, every word, they have to write it down. And they read it and read it and read it. Or they record it. And they equate it with Scripture now. Hey, time out. You're getting off in the weeds here. All right? Because God's word is the revealed word. Are you getting this? Prophecies for encouragement. Does that make sense to everybody? The Bible says to test everything, by the way, to see if it's of the Lord. Here's the next gift, declarative gift, is the gift of tongues. And that's a message from God in a language unknown to the person through whom the message comes. Message in tongues. Now, I think this deserves its own message. And so this Wednesday, I'm going to do an entire teaching on the gift of tongues and particularly the difference between that and praying in the Spirit that comes with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Okay, so that's this Wednesday. And if you're saying, well, Pastor, I don't come to church on Wednesday, that can change, right? Come this Wednesday. I think it'll be worth your time. I think you'll be blessed to be part of it. But Paul here is talking about a manifestation of tongues as a gift of the Spirit. And remember, the purpose of the gifts of the Spirit is for others, for the profit of all, right? When we pray in the Spirit, the Bible says it edifies us. That's different. He's talking about a message in tongues, which, listen, is designed to get people's attention, right? And how many know when somebody gives a message in tongues, it gets your attention. Are you getting this? And so that's why it's usually coupled with the next gift that Paul describes is the interpretation of tongues, understanding and expressing the thought or intent of the message in tongues. And this always goes with the previous gift of tongues. Matter of fact, Paul says, if you give a message in tongues and you're not ready to interpret, keep your mouth shut. Right? Because otherwise you're just creating confusion. How many understand what I'm saying? Now, it's great to see that he says interpretation of tongues, not translation of tongues. Translation is different than interpretation. At the UN, they translate word for word. Because how many know if you're talking about a bomb and a terrorist event, you need to know exactly what they said. But that's not what Paul says. It's interpretation of tongues, which means you're communicating the essence of what is being said. I've been overseas. And I've preached in countries that speak other language, and they always give us interpreters. Right? And sometimes I'll be given this long, you know, soliloquy without taking a breath, and then the interpreter say, bip, 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 bip. He's done. I'm like, I said more than that. He's like, I summed up for you. Some of you are like, sum up, Pastor. I can do it for you now, but it's different. Are you getting this? It's different, okay? But look at what else Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14. I wish you all spoke with tongues. Does anybody believe that all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for correction and training in righteousness like the Scripture says? So if we believe that the entire Word of God is inspired, then we believe Paul may have penned these words, but God is the author. So God is saying to, I wish you all spoke with tongues. Now, it doesn't matter what your religious background is. You got to wrestle with that and what that means for all of us here. We'll talk about the power of that and the importance of it this Wednesday. So let's move to the dynamic gifts. And the last three here, the dynamic gifts. And we call them dynamic gifts because it comes from a word, dunamis. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Okay, so that word power is a Greek word, dunamis, which is where we get the word dynamic. Also where we get the word that JJ used to say in good times, dynamite. Can I get a witness in the house of God? Only five of you, praise God. All right, so dynamic or dunamis gifts, and he talks about three of them. The first one is faith, a supernatural impartation of belief and confidence for a specific situation. Now, we know that every believer has been given a measure of faith. We've all been given a measure of faith, but, excuse me, Paul is describing something beyond the general measure of faith for a specific situation. And so, would it be all right with you if you were going through a difficult time or someone you know or you love was going through a valley or a crisis for God to give you an extra supernatural measure of faith? Oh, there's less of you raising your hands now. I must be really doing a bad job preaching this sermon. Would anybody like to have an extra measure of faith when you're walking through a valley? I'm raising both my hands. Yes, Jesus. More faith. Thank you for that hand, Ben. I appreciate that very much. All right, here we go. Here's the next one. Healings. Healings is a supernatural endowments of divine health. Supernatural endowments of divine health. I know some people have a bad connotation when it comes to healing. And a lot of people say, well, Pastor, I know people who didn't get healed. I do too. I know people that I love that didn't get healed. But I know some people who did. Okay? Matter of fact, let's do it this way. How many are here in this service? Maybe even online you can raise your hand. But how many are here that would raise your hand and say, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, at some point in my life, God healed me. Raise your hand real high. Look around. Raise it up real high. Does God still heal people today? Put your hands together and praise him if you believe that he does. He really does. He miraculously. Would it be okay with you if God healed you? Would it be okay with you if God used you to pray for somebody? Yes. That's what we want, right? And then the last one here is the gift of miracles. Divine intervention that alters our natural circumstances. That's what a miracle is. And how many of you would say at some point in your life, God has done a miracle in your life? I mean, there's just no other way to explain it. God has done a miracle in your life in some way. Don't raise your hand. I want you to stand up. If that's you, there is no doubt God did a miracle. There was a divine intervention and altered natural circumstances in your life. I want you to look around. Stay standing for just a moment, because how in the world could anybody say that God no longer does miracles and see what we're seeing here in this room right now? Come on, give God praise, because he's a God of miracles. You can be seated. So there are nine gifts of the Spirit, nine manifestations of the Holy Spirit's power. So how the Spirit shows up. Nine different ways that Paul describes that the kingdom of God can show up through us for other people. Now, Paul says again and again, any believer can operate in these. So these are available through the Spirit, through the pneumaticos, through the air, the wind of the Holy Spirit of God. And so the part that we've got to remember then is it's not... we're not supplying the power, but there is a natural part to the supernatural. How many know there are two parts to every miracle? There's our part and God's part. Okay, we can't do God's part because we're not God, we're not supernatural. And God requires us to do our part. He refuses to do our part. There's the natural and there's the supernatural to every miracle. And it's the same with the gifts of the Spirit. God does the supernatural, we do the natural. I'm bringing it home. God does the supernatural, we do the natural. So then, what is our part in these gifts? Are you ready? Write these down. Here's the first one. You just got to ask in faith. Just got to ask in faith. Just ask. I love what Jesus said about this in Luke chapter 11. He says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Now let's stop right here. The reason I think Jesus said this is because there's been a lot of teaching for some that, you know what, if you ask for the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit, somehow you're opening yourself up to a demon. That is crazy. Jesus is saying, listen, if you've got faith in who God is, he's your father, and you're asking for the Holy Spirit, he ain't going to give you a demon or an egg. Are you getting this? Let's keep going. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to those who do what? Those who ask. Just ask. Ask for the Holy Spirit. Ask for the gifts of the Spirit. Here's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 in the Living Bible. Ask also for the special abilities the Holy Spirit gives, and especially the gift of prophecy. So our part is the asking. It's not going to move in your life if you don't ask it. He's not going to fill you with the Holy Spirit if you don't ask it. Right? And so the second part of our part, the natural part of the supernatural, we have to ask in faith, and then we need to raise our antenna. Raise our antenna. Now, what does that mean? I think the Lord gave me this illustration. You tell me what you think. 200 years ago, if someone would have told you that you could raise an antenna in the air and listen to a conversation from someone in another city, they would have said to you, that is supernatural. That's kind of heebie-jeebie. Kind of scary. Well, fast forward 200 years, and not only do we have antennas that can listen to other people's conversations, but we can watch things like Britt Musburger said, you're watching live. I'm wasting all my good stuff on you people. Let me try this way. Everybody speaks this language, right? Right? What does this thing have? It has an internal antenna that receives Wi-Fi that you could connect to and you know, search stuff during Pastor Wayne's sermon. I mean, the Holy Spirit's convicting you at this moment, so be it, but are you getting this? What is it? You have to have an antenna to receive the signal. Now, it's just like the Holy Spirit. You can't see the Holy Spirit. We don't see the waves in the air, but in order for us to move in the gifts of the Spirit, our antenna has to be up, ready to receive. I love how the guy in the video testimony said, I was downloading words of knowledge. That's using today's language to explain something very real. Are you getting this? We have to raise our antenna. So that's why Paul calls this walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. An awareness of the spiritual realm. And so, here's the next part. Our part, the natural then of the supernatural, is we need to then take steps in faith. So we've asked God to fill us with the Holy Spirit. We've asked for the gifts of the Spirit. We raised our antenna. What are you doing, Holy Spirit? What do you want to do today? Okay, where's my woman at the well today? Are you getting this? And then when he shows you or reveals something to you, you have to take steps in faith. You got to do something about it because there's no supernatural without the natural. There's no supernatural without the natural. Somebody has to take steps of faith for the kingdom of God to show up. The woman at the well does not become a follower of Jesus, and her entire town doesn't come to see Jesus until Jesus has the courage to say, "You've had five husbands." And then the kingdom of God showed up. The guy on the video that I shared his testimony at the beginning, you know, the woman in the chair doesn't get healed. The guy with the wrist doesn't get healed until he says, "Can I pray for you?" Right here in the grocery store. Are you getting this? You know, no one gets baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaks in tongues until somebody opens their mouth and begins to speak. There's the natural and the supernatural. No one hears a word of prophecy until somebody has the courage to walk across the room or the road and says, "When I was praying for you, God spoke to me about this. Does that mean anything to you?" Are you getting this? The kingdom does not show up until somebody has the courage to take a risk and say, "God, use me." Now, listen closely. We're about to pray because I want you to get this. I think this is so important. When it comes to a relationship with the Holy Spirit, He will not do anything in your life without your cooperation. I want to wave my hands. When it comes to the relationship with the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Spirit, spiritual gifts, He will not do anything in your life without your cooperation. This always works with the natural cooperating with the supernatural, which means the Holy Spirit is not going to make you do anything weird. The Holy Spirit is not weird. Hold on. People are weird. Isn't that right? Holy Spirit's not weird. People are weird. And all right. I'll just let that marinate there. Right? I think this is also why some people struggle to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit and pray in the Spirit for the very first time. Because I think they're thinking God to do everything. You know, somehow God's going to reach out from heaven. First of all, that's messy. That's not going to happen. The scripture says, "Open your mouth wide and I will fill it." Right? My part is opening my mouth. God's part is filling it. My part is speaking. God's part's making it a language. "But Pastor, I don't want to get it in the flesh." You can't get it any other way. You have to cooperate in all of this if you want to live a Spirit-filled life. Now, before we pray, let me tell you a story. I saw this posted on Facebook, and I'm glad Joe posted it as an encouragement, and it's just a reminder that we can use social media for good. And I asked permission for him to, if I could tell a story, and so here it is. He says, "I was at lunch today with my crew, 20 feet away from the counter where a pregnant mom with twin girls were sitting. I heard the mom ask how much would it cost for two chicken strips, but she didn't have enough money. As far away as I was, I heard everything." His antenna was up. "So Jesus in me went up and bought them all lunch with dessert and drinks, and I gave mom a 50. She teared up. The cashier teared up. I teared up. One of the guys on my crew teared up. She told me it's the end of the month and her food was running out." He says, "I so love God moments like this. And the reason I'm sharing is everyone listen to God's leading. And if you allow Him, He will bless many, not to mention sharing with my guys why and who I was doing it for. It planted a seed in their hearts. I share that story with you to show you again, the supernatural is very natural. It's very normal. And if we'll just ask the Holy Spirit to fill us and ask for God to use us, then we start looking around for opportunities for the kingdom of God to show up in us. And let's be honest, most of our lives are filled up with us. We're so focused on us, we don't even see the needs around us, the women at the well who are broken. Come on, somebody. And if we'll have the courage to take a step and speak, you know what will happen? The kingdom of God will show up in the lives of people who don't even believe in Him, who don't know Him, whose heart is hurting. Come on, somebody. Say, Pastor, why are we talking about this? Why is this such a big deal? Listen, it's because of the women at the well. It's because of your neighbor. It's because of your classmate. It's because of your family member that they're just on a one-way straight road to hell and darkness, and God's got to show up in their life to get their attention so they can turn to Him with all of their hearts. How is He going to do that? Listen, He wants you and He wants me to be filled with the Spirit so that the kingdom can show up in their hearts and lives. Somebody say amen. Now listen. In just a moment, we're going to pray, but before we do that, in order for us to be filled with the Spirit, we have to be right with God. Amen? So before we pray and ask the Holy Spirit to fill us, if you're here this morning and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and let me just be honest, I'm talking about a lot of this stuff, and some of you are like, oh, my word. What's going on? The Holy Spirit is probably talking to you about your soul. You need to get right with God. And He loves you enough to speak to you about your soul. So would you bow your heads? Would you close your eyes? And nobody is moving. Nobody is dishonoring this sacred moment. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to me about things in my life that are not pleasing to God. And today, I need a relationship with God. I need to ask Him to forgive me. If my soul were to be required of me today, I'm not sure I would go to heaven. If that's you here this morning, I simply want to pray for you, and I want to pray with you. I'm not going to ask you to come down to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way, but you need to make a decision today that I'm going to be right with God, that I'm going to follow Christ. It's more than just recognizing that you've made mistakes. It's a decision on your part that you are now going to follow Jesus. If that's you, would you put your hand up real high right now? Put it up, put it up, put it up. Yes, hands are up all over. Keep putting them up. Thank you for those hands. Thank you. Many, many hands. Every section has a hand. Every section has multiple hands. Thank you. Keep raising them. Keep raising them. Thank you so much for your willingness and your courage to raise your hand. Every head is still bowed, every eye is still closed. You can put your hands down. If you raised your hand, I want to lead you in a prayer confession to the living God. First steps, really, in following Christ. It's not magic words. It's not going to give you a free ticket into heaven. It's the first step of following Christ. I want you to pray this with me, and everybody that would like to encourage them, pray out loud with them. But if you raised your hand, I want you to pray a little bit louder than the person next to you. Would you pray this way? Dear God, thank you for convicting me today. I agree with you that I am a sinner. I've broken your laws, and I'm guilty. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Today I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, His death on the cross for my sin. I also believe Jesus Christ rose from the dead to give me victory and new life. From this day forward, I will follow you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, give me your power to follow Jesus every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you give God praise for many people right now who just pray to receive Christ as Savior? Can't pancake for that. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.